Hello and welcome to Radio Edutalk. This is David Noble in Dalgety Bay, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show today Adam Black, who's a teacher. And over the next 20 minutes or so, Adam's going to be talking about his experiences of being a teacher in a school. And Adam has a stammer, and we're going to talk about his experiences of teaching with a stammer in schools, and also about support for teachers and for young people who have a stammer. So welcome to Edutalk, Adam.
Hi there, thank you, cheers.
And just before we start, if you've got any comments or questions for Adam, this is a pre-recorded show. You can, however, get in touch in the usual two ways, and we can pass on any comments or questions to Adam. First of all, you can email edutalker, that's edutalkr, at hotmail.co.uk, or you can pop something on Twitter and just include the hashtag edutalk. So to start off with, Adam, could you give us a kind of brief background to your career in education?
Yeah, no problem at all. Well, I left school at 17 and I had all my hires, and basically I wanted to become a teacher, but upon speaking to the careers advisor at the time, it was sort of advised that perhaps it wasn't a career that would be suitable for myself, given that I stutter quite severely. So sort of took a different path and ended up doing sports coaching. And through sports coaching, I ended up teaching young children, and it just sort of embedded my joy that I got doing that. So over a number of years, I developed my speech through different therapy options, which we'll talk about later. And then I did a postgraduate at Jordan Hill in primary education 7 or 8 years ago now. And I've taught in a few schools in Castlemill, Shawlands, and I'm just about to begin a new post in August in Eastmere Primary in Shettleston. I've also gone back to do a master's degree in inclusive education, just given my interest in including all children with conditions and different additional needs. So that's sort of my background. It's sort of to do with inclusive pedagogy, given my own circumstances, but also that sort of background in teaching young children sport as well.
Can you start by giving listeners a kind of insight into stammering?
Yeah, no problem. Well, stuttering is one of these conditions where it ranges from person to person, but there are some common features, and I think a lot of these features are quite misunderstood by the general public. You know, the people that we see on TV who stutter traditionally were, you know, open all hours, it was Porky Pig, it was all these sorts of people. But the conditions that we're looking for, the different features, are repetition of whole words, just like that. So when are we playing? That might be something you would see in a child. You may also see the repetition of single sounds or parts of words. So, for example, you might hear go away or mummy. So that's a different feature of stammering. You might also hear a child stretch out a sound in a word. For example, I like that story. A really common one, quite a misunderstood one of stammering, is blocking on a sound. So when a child's mouth appears to be ready to speak, but no sound emerges for several seconds. For example, I got a book. So it's that, the complete block on the sound. Another thing is stopping speaking halfway through a sentence. And I've seen it where teachers have misunderstood this for the child losing their train of thought, but it's actually that the child knows that they're encountering a word which they cannot say, so they just stop speaking. There's also other things, so general information about stuttering, that you'll see tension signs in the face, around the eyes or lips, or you'll see real tension in the neck or the nose. Extra body movements as the child tries to push out a word. For example, stamping their feet, tapping with their hands, or changing position. You know, fidgeting in their chair, eye contact all over the place. you might hear some breathing difficulties with children who stutter. They might hold their breath while speaking, or they might take a big breath and then try and get as much out as they can. And it's just that they just want to get the speaking process over. Another thing with stuttering, which is important for teachers to remember, is that stammering can come and go, and it can change even within the same conversation. It can fluctuate from a mild to severe stutter, depending on the situation, and it may range from part and whole word repetitions one day to blocking for 3 or 4 seconds, accompanied by gestures like foot stamping from another. So it's a really interesting condition, in that even though as a teacher you know the children in your class really well, you don't get to know the differences in stuttering because they change so variantly. And there is a major difference between stammering found in young children and then the confirmed condition in older children. So basically, the sort of current research would say that a child up to the age of 9, if they're stammering, there is a chance that they'll grow out of it. You know that old phrase, you'll grow out of it. But up to the age of 9, that's true. So it's just one of these things in the speech fluency for young children. At the age of 9, 10 or above, it's pretty much a confirmed condition. And it's just something to be made aware of, that it does fluctuate. So I'd say that they're my biggest things for teachers in terms of general information, that there's no one stutter. And even when with one child, that stuttering can change.
So what about your own experiences in the classroom as a teacher, you know, still fairly early on in your career? So in both classroom and your kind of wider school experiences, and I know you touched on there, you're going to say more about therapies, but you say about how through that and other approaches, etc., you've overcome the difficulties.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing with stuttering is that there is no cure, so you can manage your stutter to a certain degree, and the way I've done that is through a therapy program called the Maguire program, which is unique in that it's run completely by people who stutter. There are no professional speech and language therapists that do it, so the ethos is that advice is a form of nostalgia, so we help each other out because we all know exactly what it's like. And the Maguire program has been great for me. It's really enhanced my confidence and given me tools to control my stutter. However, there is no cure. So given that I do a job which involves speaking an awful lot throughout the day, and certainly I've taught in the infant department for the past 5 or 6 years, so I'm talking all the time, there are moments where I do encounter difficulties. And the biggest way that I've found to overcome that is just to be completely honest with the children in my class. So the first thing I do at the start of every year is I sit the children down and I talk about it. I read them a child-based story called Steggy's Stammer, which is written by a guy called John Hughes, basically about a dinosaur that stutters and none of the other dinosaurs pay him any attention, even though he's trying to tell them the right thing. And they really like that. And then I talk about how Mr. Black has a stutter as well, and every now and then you'll hear me speak in a different way, and I might model some of that stuttering like I did earlier on in this phone call. I might explain the different types that they might hear. And I just say that we've all got these things that are new to us, and things that are about me that are different, things about you that are different, and children really relate well to that. And I've found that that is the best way in dealing with it in the classroom. That way, if stuttering does occur, as it does, you know, they really don't bat an eyelid. And even, I mean, I've been in situations where I'm telling a child off or giving them a row for something, and halfway through that, I do start to stutter or I encounter a block. You know, they keep eye contact with you and they show you the utmost respect about it. And I think that's all to do with the honesty factor. So, in terms of the whole school community that you touched on there, that I've done a lot of self-promotion of my own story with my colleagues and other people in the authority, tried to raise a bit of awareness of this condition. But I mean, the big tips for teachers would be just to get to know their child, get to know the children in their class, and model good speaking behaviour. So if you're doing a reading out loud for the class, you model it that you can read slowly, that if you're doing a character accent, they don't all have to be the same, that you can take your time. If you know a child stutters in the class, make it the ethos in the school that those children start to read near the start of the story, because the children who stutter are left at the end, that anxiety builds up. And I can see why teachers do it. They think, I'll give them time to relax into the story. But in actual fact, the research has shown that a child stutters, let them go first, let them get it out of the way. So just a couple of things in the school ethos that can be really easy to change. If you know children that stutter, you can make these very quick and easy changes.
And Adam, you spoke there about a piece of research and how that informs your thinking and you informs what you kind of pass on to colleagues and the way you work with children. And obviously you're doing further study just now in inclusive education. But can you pick out any more advice or interesting research that's come out that might benefit those working with young people?
Yeah, I mean, there's a really good thing at the moment through the British Stammering Association. They do a lot of great work as a charitable organisation, and they basically come out with a new phonics screening check for children who stammer, because it's been known in the past for children who stammer to have been attained in a lower level than their actual phonic awareness. So basically, possible issues that might occur. Some children who stammer aren't concerned about their speech, but others can be aware of it as a difficulty even at a young age. So the current research is saying ways to help. Just choose a day in the week and a time in the day when the child has been observed previously to be more fluent. And this is a good way for teachers to assess their own understanding and let the child express an opinion. Let the children be asked questions. So there may be times of the week where a child is more fluent and it gives them that opportunity to be more successful. Really interesting thing and a really useful thing for teachers. Another possible issue is that children who stammer may need more time. So again, the current research on that is easy ways to help is to allow as much time as needed at the start so that they can relax. Also allow the child to rest during parts of the day, if there has been a lot of talking or a lot of group discussion, make sure that those children are getting time with no talking as well. That's important. And I think I touched on it earlier, but teachers need to modify their own speech rate by slowing down and pausing. And that just signals to the stuttering child, but also the other children in the class, there's no need to rush. That's a big thing that's coming out at the moment. The other thing is that a possible issue for a child who stutters is that they may need to respond in a slightly different way. So current research is saying that's fine. Allow the child to whisper a response, perhaps allow the child to use a different voice if that suits them. And young children often figure out that if they put a voice on or a different accent, then they don't stammer. That's called role-specific stuttering. So when stammering is very severe or anxiety is very high, it's good to allow the use of these alternative strategies for children. I mean, it's a tiny wee thing that you can do in your practice, but it will make a huge, huge difference to these children. Other very quick things, that the way the adult responds may impact on how the children is able to access. So, for example, always maintain normal eye contact, particularly when the child stammers. And upon speaking to fluent speakers, i.e. non-stutterers, they have told me that that's the hardest part, to maintain eye contact with a person who stutters. But for children, that's so important, and we need to avoid that natural tendency to tense up or to get embarrassed and look away. Because if you're embarrassed, then think about the child. So we need to do all we can for them. And another, the last thing I'll possibly say on the research is that sometimes as a teacher, it can be difficult to distinguish between the repetition resulting in a stammer or difficulty in blending sounds. So when we're teaching those initial reading sounds. So the research is just saying a nice easy way to help is to ensure that the teacher's familiar with the stammering in the child, as I've mentioned earlier, and that we need to get experienced at recognising the children's stammer and the distinction between that and the blending of sounds. And in time, it does become quite easy, but for that to happen, we need to get to know the child. So, I mean, it's not rocket science, but these are just really small, easy things a practitioner can do to develop their teaching.
And you mentioned about the National Association there. You know, are learning resources produced, you know, to support learners with a stutter or whole school communities, for example? You know, you talked about the way that you work with the young children at the start of the year, but are there resources for whole school events? In terms of actually educating the whole school community.
Yeah, do you know, that's something which doesn't really exist. There's not a sort of blanket assembly or a blanket sort of document for everyone. However, on the British Stamming Association website, there's an amazing section for teachers and early years professionals. So there's five different tags: teachers, basic information, research, website for early years workers, phonics guide for children who stammer, and then again just more detailed information for teachers. So it's aimed at practitioner level. But I think that's something which I'm quite passionate about, is maybe trying to develop a whole school resource, something for both children and for a wide range of professionals, that we can reach a greater number. I mean, stammering does affect 1% of the population as adults, but it actually affects 4% of the child population. So it's quite a big number, really, if you think about it. So it is something which teachers are going to experience in their career. So I think the more research that we do and the more output that we do in it, the better.
And I noticed, Adam, when I was doing a little bit of research before today, that and you touched on it earlier on, that self-help in communities is a big feature. I'm kind of putting you on the spot here a wee bit, but could there be a link between the levels of support that young people and adults and young professionals have maybe had in the past and the development of self-help, or are there other reasons why that's a particular feature of how people with a stammer support each other?
Yeah, I think that's quite an interesting question, but because stammering can be quite an isolating condition, and the fact that a lot of people who stutter don't know others, so you feel like you're the only one there, you're the only person in the classroom, you're the only teacher in the school who stammers, we do seem to seek other people. So these self-help groups have sort of cropped up all over the place. And in terms of the Maguire programme, we have a self-help group in Glasgow. I know that the Scottish Stammering Network have one in Glasgow as well, and in Edinburgh. And it's just a sort of community feeling. In terms of the Maguire programme, the therapy course which I'm part of, we sort of do it in the back of a sort of an Alcoholics Anonymous idea, that you meet together and you're open and you're honest about it, and you talk about stuttering in that way, that, yep, hi, my name's Adam, I've been working on my speech for so many years, I've had a good week this week, or I've encountered X, Y, and Z, do you have any advice that might help me to get through that? So it's that, back to that old thing about advice being a form of nostalgia. And we've certainly invited along professionals in the Stammering World speech and language therapists to come along and observe, and they're always quite interested in it as well. But it's a funny thing, because there's a great deal of research going on to what causes people stutter, but we still don't exactly know. We know it's a neurological condition, so until we know more than that, these self-help groups are hugely beneficial, definitely.
And just finally, Adam, what does the future hold for yourself? You know, do you see yourself continuing to develop your career as a classroom teacher? And where do you hope to take your kind of further learning that you're gaining through your masters?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm just about to start a new job in August at Eastmere Primary, which is an MLD primary school. So I'm really keen to use what I've learned through gaining my master's a couple of years ago within that setting. And to be honest, I'm quite happy being on the chalk front at this stage. I want to be at the heart of children's learning. In terms of progressing with the stuttering awareness, for a few years now I've been trying to get things going with Glasgow City Council and running CPD on the issue, Twilights or things like that. So I'm going to continue pushing with that and try and get that finalised in the coming academic year. I think that would be great for both myself progressing my own sort of campaign for stammering awareness, but also for other practitioners. But for now, no, I'm very happy just being on the chalk front and being at the heart of children's learning.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out to from your holiday, no doubt, to appear on EduTalk today. It's been a fascinating insight into the challenges, but also into the kind of optimism and the support and the I suppose the goodness of young people in the class to respond in a positive way, and the fact that it can actually lead to more wider learning about respect, etc. But you've also interspersed your story with so many good bits of advice, I think, that would be relevant to all classroom practitioners. So I thank you for that, Adam, and best wishes for the future.
Thank you very much. Cheers for having me on. That's brilliant.